underwriting support for the Book Show podcast on WAMC.org comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester Center, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York. An independent bookstore offering books, author events, gifts for children and adults, and more. Northshire.com. And from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in Public Health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu.
Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Have you ever thought to yourself, did that really happen, or did I just imagine that to be true? In Dan Shaun's new novel, Ill Will, he explores two sensational unsolved crimes, one in the past, another in the present, both linked by one man's memory and self-deception. It is Dan Shaun's sixth book, with three narratives unfolding across 11 sections over three decades. There are half a dozen characters and two unsolved killing sprees. Shaun writes in first, second, and third person in past and present tense. Dan Shaun is the acclaimed author of Stay Awake, Await Your Reply, and Among the Missing. Again, the new novel is Ill Will, and it's a pleasure to welcome Dan Shaun to this week's book show. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you. And I just wanted to remind your listeners that even though the name is pronounced Shaun, it's spelled C-H-A-O-N, which is very confusing for many on the radio.
That is true. That is a very good point. I've been following you for a long time, so I guess I just took it for granted because I knew how to pronounce your name that everyone else would, but that may not be the case.
It's actually seldom the case, weirdly enough.
So it's Dan Shaun. It's C-H-A-O-N. So when you
like
look
chaos.
It up and you find it. Like what?
Like chaos.
Like chaos. That's absolutely right. How did you come to this particular story? As I mentioned in the introduction, you have a lot going on. Was that on purpose at the beginning, the intent in writing this story, or did that just develop?
Well, I mean, I think a little of both. I had both of these ideas. One came from a very early, you know, like maybe 2001, 2002 story that I heard from my brother-in-law, which was about this series of drownings that was happening in the upper Midwest in Wisconsin. He was a college student and knew a kid who had, you know, disappeared from a bar and then ended up drowned in a river. And even though the police felt like it was, you know, sort of just a death by misadventure, the college kids felt like there might be a killer on the loose. And I wrote this down. And then, you know, years passed. And I had started working on this new book that was really originally sort of going to be mostly about the satanic panic of the 1980s. And somehow all of this other stuff started emerging as I was writing. And I guess what I was most interested in was, like, at a certain point, conspiracies will pop up and then fade and then pop up and then fade again. And I wanted to sort of have that pattern in the novel that, you know, like there was a conspiracy in the present as well as in the past.
So the going back and forth in the storytelling, not only from section to section, but within a section, is that all written in a linear fashion?
Well, I don't really write linearly. I tend to write in fragments when I'm first starting out. I have usually a composition notebook or even just a set of note cards, like 3x5 note cards that I write on in longhand. And so when I'm first starting out, things tend to come in pieces from all over the place just as they occur to me. And in this particular case, it seemed like putting them together in that way, in that kind of fragmented way, made sense for both the plot and the theme of the book, which is kind of about the dissociation of contemporary life.
Let us talk about the central character here, Dr. Dustin Tillman. Tell us about Dr. Tillman and how we meet him, and then ultimately how his story is told throughout the novel.
Okay. we first meet Dustin when his life has reached a kind of stable point. He was the victim of a mass killing when he was a child, and his mother and father and aunt and uncle were all killed. He and his two cousins survived the event, and his brother was, or his adopted brother, was put in prison for the killings. When the novel starts, his brother has just been released from prison. He's been proven innocent by DNA evidence, and Dustin is sort of put into a tailspin by this revelation. And then other things start going wrong in his life at the same time, thus the title Ill Will. As things progress, Dustin begins to start questioning what actually happened back in the day, and also becomes involved in a present day investigation that one of his patients initiates him into.
When you take on something like this and you realize where you're going, how do you keep it? Because it's complex. So how do you keep it from being too complicated?
Well, first, I mean, first you're assuming that I know where it's going, which is not necessarily the case. I'm not sure that I did keep it from, I mean, it depends on the reader. You know, some readers are like, wow, this is just, no, this is complex, too complex. And some people really love that kind of puzzle-like quality and, you know, really are into all these different pieces that may or may not completely fit together. That is what excites me about the book, is that idea that I can play with all of these different components, and they may fit together in different ways for different people. And that was really, I mean, that was really exciting. I mean, as I was writing, I was hoping that everything would come together, but I really write without necessarily working from an outline. And when I was finished, you know, the second draft was really where I tried to make all of the pieces come together in one way or another. I guess that's a particular method, but I find it really useful for me to kind of be able to surprise myself, I guess.
One of the components that you play with is this idea of deceit and how it plays into our identities, which is really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's deceit that's going on from people who, you know, like our loved ones, who are fooling each other. But there's also a lot of self-deceit. And that to me is particularly interesting, because I think, you know, we're all in that mode to some extent, in that we, you know, are selectively choosing the things about ourselves that we like to think of as, you know, the core elements of our being, and even the core memories that we choose are selective. And so there's, you know, there's probably a different story that someone could tell about each of us, given a different set of memories and personality traits that they chose to focus on. And, you know, I mean, that's sort of a commonplace, but it's also sort of crazy and existential if you look at it from one from a particular angle. Like what are we?
Right.
Are we just constructions, that sort of thing? Which now I'm starting to sound like a, you know, 19-year-old stoner in the dorm room, but I still am to some extent, maybe.
It helps with the novel, doesn't it? It helps,
right,
in the writing.
Yeah.
It's all for research. When you look at a character like Rusty, who is Dustin's, as you said, adopted brother, the character is adopted, had a horrible childhood, and brought into this family. You yourself are adopted, so it does stand that there is something, I think, even though you have talked about it, that there is something still interesting that you like to explore about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it particularly is a way to talk about identity and about how people become who they are. I mean, I think with adoption and foster care and, you know, various kinds of blended families, we get to see sort of a compare and contrast of nature and nurture and how those two things play out against each other. And that's particularly interesting to me, I guess, as an adoptee, but also just as a human being.
Dan Shaun is our guest. The name of the new novel is Ill Will. It is published by Ballantine Books. One of the things that you talk about in this book is satanic rituals. You write that about this time that begins, I guess, in the 80s, about Satan and Satan's underground and these hidden satanic cults. And you write in the book that there was actually a new special on television exposing Satan's underground, which you can watch on YouTube. You will not believe their hair. So this, again, is all real. That's from a very interesting time, isn't it, in our history? And to look at the long-term effect of that is also interesting.
Yeah. Well, the quote that you just read is from the perspective of an 18-year-old who had not heard of this at
right.
all. And I think it's interesting because it is a time period in our history that is mostly forgotten. And we kind of think of it as something that's, you know, a little goofy in some ways, but it was taken extremely seriously in its time, and a lot of people went to prison over, you know, these kind of bizarre testimonies that now in retrospect seem pretty ludicrous. And what's fascinating to me is not just that we had this sort of hysteria that the country went through, but also that the hysteria faded and then was forgotten, and all of these lives that were destroyed are kind of just in the mist now. You know, I think only recently the West Memphis Three, who were, you know, I think great avatars for that time period, were only very recently released from prison.
Right. In the novel, you go back and forth in time. So we go to a point where that is very real, and then a point where it has faded off, of course, and people are looking back on it in retrospect. When you have this look of characters and their aging and their understanding of what they've gone through and finding out all of these things and trying to put some sense and order to it, how this gets back to what you were talking about earlier of me making the assumption that you know where it was going. But in that order, there is a point where you have to know what the order is and how this all fits together.
Right, right. I mean, I think for me, the interesting aspect of this was that there are more than one version of any story. I mean, and you know, all you have to do is sit around a Thanksgiving table with a bunch of relatives who haven't seen each other in a while and listen to them talk about things that happened in the past. There'll be, you know, as many different versions of those stories as there will be people at the table. And that's, you know, I mean, that's normal. Until you get to something that you want to, you know, that you want to believe has a single objective truth to it, and you, especially, you know, if you're in a court of law, you hope that okay, there's one thing that actually happened, not five things that could have happened, and that's, I think, you know, scary and fascinating and really for me was worth exploring. What do our memories actually mean?
What do you think it is about us that like to read novels like this, in the sense of where there is an unreliable narrator that you don't know exactly what's happening, and it is, at the end of the day, very, very dark?
Well, I mean, I think that, I mean, to some extent, for me at least, stories that are scary, stories that are dark, Stories that explore uncertainty and ambiguity provide a kind of dialysis for the reader, because, you know, we live in an uncertain world. We live in a scary world. You don't have to open a novel to read a horror story. You can certainly find plenty in the news. But a novel kind of gives you, or, you know, a horror movie, for that example, kind of gives you a filter that allows you to process this material in a way that I find really rewarding.
When you look at the type of book that you write, how do you define it? Because my understanding is you actually were more into science fiction than you were into a mystery and a thriller genre.
I think a little bit of both. I mean, I was a big Ray Bradbury fan as a kid, and, you know, his stuff really ranges from, you know, the kind of science fiction of The Martian Chronicles and Fahrenheit 451 to, you know, straight up kind of dark fantasy, like the stories in October Country or Something Wicked This Way Comes, that really terrifying novel that I think in some ways informs this book. And, you know, other people that I loved were, you know, people like Peter Straub, Stephen King, Shirley Jackson was a favorite of mine. So, yeah, I feel like I'm coming to the genre pretty honestly. And it was a genre that I think shaped the way that I saw the world, even though I think a lot of my work tends to fall further from, you know, supernatural or dark fantasy and closer to sort of gothic realism, if that's a genre.
Mm-hmm. You teach at Oberlin College. What is it about the idea of writing actively while teaching? I know you took a sabbatical to finish the novel, but that idea of doing both, and how does one inform the other?
Well, I mean, I think that when you're working with young writers, there's a great excitement about not just writing, but reading and sharing ideas about, you know, how do you do this? How do you make a great scene? What makes a great character? And talking about that, I think, is inspiring and helps me as a working writer to think about that kind of stuff in my own work. I mean, I feel like even though I'm working with beginning writers, I'm still, in many ways, working on the same processes that they are. You know, how do you write a great sentence? How do you make a scene come alive? How do you get inside somebody's head that you don't really know?
In writing Ill Will and realizing that this is a story that has a lot of the elements and themes of many of your stories, that there are fires and there are brothers and adoption and a lot of the stuff that you have written about. Are you comfortable coming back to those themes? Do you ever try to avoid them and just can't? Or are you now at the point where those are things that you want to explore?
Well, I mean, I think I went through a period as a young writer in my 20s where I found myself getting stuck because I'm like, okay, I'm writing about brothers again. I can't do that. I need to write about, you know, cowboys or something. And I found that, like, what happened was that I was just kind of mentally shutting myself down every time I came up with an idea that that I liked that I had already done. And what I came to realize is that, you know, we do have, you know, kind of a finite series of obsessions. And I think a lot of what I've done over the years is figure out ways to repackage those few obsessions in different ways that that are compelling to me and that hopefully will be compelling and not repetitive to readers, and, you know, and I guess sort of figuring that if these are things that I'm really obsessed with and that I get energy from and I want to write about again and again, that there will be, you know, readers who want to follow me through that journey, and I guess I've come to accept that, yes, I do have a kind of limited number of things that I really love writing about.
But that shouldn't be a negative. I mean, there are wonderful, great novelists who certainly, and great artists who certainly went back and explored themes again and again.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are really two kinds of writers. There are the writers who have a very specific territory that they have claimed for themselves, and that, you know, might include people like, you know, Faulkner or Flannery O'Connor, or, you know, George Saunders, for that matter. And then there are writers like Jim Shepard or Jennifer Egan, who seem to be able to do anything to you know, sort of like explore all over the map. And I admire both of those kinds of writers.
Does it say something about you, or does it say something about us, or does it say something about both, that this is a book, I mean, just by its title, Ill Will, but it takes place in January and these gray days and it's in Cleveland and so in a seedier section, there is little sunshine, if you will, in the novel, even though it's riveting and it brings you from page to page, just leaping from page to page. And I'm just interested in when you look at that overall tone and color of it, that's where you like to wade.
Yeah. Well, I had a very specific idea about how I was going to play with seasons in this book, and almost all of the stuff in the past takes place in the summer, and almost everything in the present takes place in a few weeks in December and January, and you know, I feel like I come by the grayness. Honestly, I've lived in Cleveland for 25 years, and there aren't a lot of sunny January days here. But at the same time, I mean, I was really trying to draw on that mood to kind of give my, you know, to kind of inject that grayness and that kind of bleakness into the you know, the texture of the novel, because that was the kind of mood that I wanted to evoke. I mean, it's spring now in Cleveland. I could have used spring. Spring is beautiful here, but I chose not to.
and you're still a happy person.
Yeah, no, I am still a happy person. And you know, I mean, I think, you know, going back to that issue of writing a depressing novel or not, or reading a depressing or scary book, I find myself happier when I do have that, you know, that outlet of, you know, I've read a scary book, saw a scary movie, I come out of the theater and I feel better and I feel happier because, you know, I got something cleaned out.
Right. And it helps just when it's, I mean, when you're attached to it, you can't let it go, and it's just so damn good.
Yeah.
Well, the name of the novel is Ill Will. It is published by Ballantine. Dan Shaun, thank you very much for spending time with us. Congratulations on the novel. It's really terrific, and it's a delight to speak with you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Dan Shaun's new novel is Ill Will. It is published by Ballantine. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org. And you can listen again to this or find past book shows via podcast or at wamc.org. Sarah LeDuc produces our program. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening. For The Book Show, I'm Joe Donahue.
Flashlight, because once I forgot it.